Welcome to We the People Radio. My name's Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
We didn't even hurry today.
No, we were totally on time.
We were actually early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said all I had to say before I even got on the air. Talk about early.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard up in Shasta Lake, right off I-5, just south of Phil's Propeller. And if you want a great deal on a tractor, you need service work, get in there and see them right now. They can probably get you in and out on the service pretty quick. They're not all backed up. So go in there and talk to them about repairs. Also, I wanted to mention they've got some used inventory. If you're looking for a used tractor, get in there. They've got
used tractors are a premium.
Oh, they're hard to find. Yeah, yeah. So go in there and see them. And, or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com. And phone number is 226-9226. There you
go.
There you have it. Who are we talking to today?
Okay, so, all right, we have more information, you know, because you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. That was a fake who Bill, we have.
Bill's head exploded, and then he had to take a nap.
Oh, my gosh.
Why he sounds all relaxed.
I overloaded on information, and it knocked me out. It was. I won't say it was all new information, but it was. It really put it in context, and there was some stuff that I didn't know.
He kept running in.
Yeah. Hey, did you know this?
Pulled him in the shower. He's like, "Have you ever heard of this?"
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. So our guest is Bruce Moran, and I will point you at this point to the website. It's wethepeopleradio.us. So a bunch of what we do is online, and I know that a lot of you listen online, which we really appreciate. So I know that Sunday afternoon, people have things to do. You know, they're hanging with their family. We always post a commercial-free archive after the shows, and those are free to listen to. A lot of people require you to subscribe or things like that. We don't go in for any of that.
We want you to have the information.
We have some nice sponsors, Karen and Lynn and Ken, and we got a bunch of nice individual sponsors and the guys at Team Power that support the show so that we can provide commercial-free archives for you without charging you for them. And Bruce has been on a bunch of times. We've listed all those previous shows. He is with Security Solutions Technology. And those guys are a veteran-owned company that provides federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, cybersecurity, geospatial, program and lifecycle management, change management, which always makes me want to make a joke, but I won't, logistics and financial consulting. That'll change management. Still makes me laugh, though. These guys are deep into the national security stuff. So periodically, we get a call from our friend Bruce who says, "Hey, we should talk about these things." So this time, he always sends us a really descriptive batch of information with lots of good links and all that. So if you're one of those people who's like, "Oh, these are going to be just a bunch of right-wingers talking about, you know, crap they don't really prove, they can't prove." Actually, no, that would not be this program. You have everything that you need to research all the things we're going to discuss today. And I'm not kidding you. It is a mountain of information. So our friend Bruce... We have no picture for Bruce. No picture. He's the mystery man on the radio. He lives in Chicago, though. I know that. Hey, so Bruce, you want to start at the beginning?
We've discussed parts of it, as you know, but it was never put together in a total strategic plan for crisis readiness, crisis preparedness, and how we look at it when we're talking to people in Washington, D.C. So we're going to essentially brief people as much as we can. This could go on for, I would think, two programs, 4 hours.
No, at least.
Maybe Chuck would come in at some point on another program. But I want to cover in greater detail what we think hasn't been covered and what the essential characteristics of national security are and what the function of a commander-in-chief is. And I think that's being totally misconstrued and portrayed on the function of the president, and especially President Trump. So yeah. We'll talk about, you know, what you see in the news later, but we want to talk about accomplishments, about action plans, and how we call it, in our lingo is crisis readiness, crisis preparedness. How has this been done? Where has it gone? And what are we going to be doing in the future? so far what we could see in the first year and a half, year and three quarters, is that it's been quite a remarkable job, considering President Trump just came in and he had to deal with some, I would consider them, imminent threats. And how did he deal with it? Remarkably well. So let's start, and then if people want to go through what we're talking about, like Aaron was saying and Bill was saying, they can actually go to the website and start looking at some of the things we're going to be conveying. I think what hasn't been really discussed at length, because there's a lot of things on the radio and on TV, on the cable, that's covering a lot of different material, and they're only giving you short, what I call, tidbits of information that aren't necessarily giving you the background. This is about background. This is about what's been done, how it's been done, and who, you know, and the effects. I think the effects are historical, monumental, and remarkable of what President Trump has done. So let's get into the ISIS caliphate state. And as you know, this goes back to when they took over Mosul. And at that time, basically, Ambassador Abadi, and we were communicating with him, you know, through our contacts in Washington, working on various programs, and they were pushed back really hard as ISIS took Mosul, and then they broke into the armory and had a lot of vehicles that were armed, you know, 50 caliber machine guns, and able to move quickly through Iraq down to the southern part of the Anbar province and take over, basically, you know, Fallujah, Ramadi, and then that's only like 30, 40 miles out of Baghdad. So we had a huge problem there that transpired in a short period of time, you know, within 3-4 months. And nothing was addressed during the previous administration, but when President Trump came into office, he said, we're going to get that done. And he did. And what a remarkable job, you know. And as you already know from that particular region up north, it's called the Nivea Plain region, there was an enormous amount of refugees. Some say 3.2, some say 4.5 or more of refugees that went out because ISIS had taken over with the caliphate state. Daesh is called, or some call it ISIS, or some call it ISIL. But the ISIL means Levant, which means they want to include Israel. So their, you know, their whole goal at that point would have been, if they were successful in Iraq and Syria, they would have went down south and started, you know, knocking on Israel's door because they consider that part of the Levant. This historically is important because what we see now is a group of extremists and terrorists that are still in vogue, and they still abide by the caliphate state. And at that time, we were looking at a period of, you know, a year and a half where maybe 100,000 plus people came in from, I would say, 90 to 100 different countries. And there's different reports on it, but let's say 100 countries, and they were coming in from these Muslim imams who were supporting the caliphate state. So that's pretty significant, considering that they have to go, they probably went back, you know, a large amount of them after they're starting to be defeated in Iraq. And that was all due to President Trump. President Trump decided, he put his foot down and he said, no more. America first, protect our national security interests. This is an imminent threat. We're going to take care of business. General Mattis took control. You know, General Kelly comes in later as the chief of staff, and they start moving on this, and they really cleaned up there. Would you have any questions, or Mike?
Well, yeah, that wouldn't take long.
No,
but I think I was glad you mentioned the strike on the armory, because once they attacked that armory, that gave them the arms to have a lot of successful attacks and grow at the rate they did. But with the infiltration of all these folks from the other countries, It was a serious threat. They were marching along, taking town after town. So do we have to take a break?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we'll take a break and then we'll
come right back. I know this is we're not going to fool around as much as we normally do because there's a ton of information to cover. So our guest today is Bruce Moran from Security Solutions Technologies. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Bruce to send me a picture, and he goes, oh, I don't put my picture out there. And I'm like, well, we got to have something. And he goes, well, I'm kind of like the Hawkeye Pierce of our group. So for a long time, I had a picture of Hawkeye Pierce on our website. So I thought I should add the song just for fun.
Hey, well, we were talking about the...
yeah, they said you're the comic relief.
Yeah. The idea about what has happened in such a short period of time with the President of the United States has not really been recognized as remarkable. And here we had the...
Understatement.
I'm going to move on because we were over in Iraq with ISIS, you know. And then this is also going on simultaneously in Syria, as you know, with the refugees and with ISIS. And we're still up there. So our troops are up there in the desert and in North Hajin, and they're removing remnants of ISIS up there. There's about, I don't know, I would say 30,000 left. Certain different reports say different things, but, you know, we have a contingent up there that wants to, you know, see if they can find al-Baghdadi. He's the head of the caliphate state. What's not talked about, and this is something that, I mean, right there is Nusra Front's up there also. That's the al-Qaeda arm. And they themselves have formed a caliphate state in Syria. So there's things going on that Assad is dealing with and the Russians are dealing with. Now they're in check, though, as we're talking about the second post here. And that's with the airstrike. That's significant because, as you know, there's 105 cruise missiles shot off in about an hour. And that was a great awakening.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. That was
You know, we did it once earlier with President Trump, and then all of a sudden, from three different areas in the Mediterranean, you have the British, the French, and the Americans shooting off 105 cruise missiles very accurately. Now, I'd like to make a remark that people may not be aware of this, but our cruise missiles were better than they were, you know, 5 years ago. And then there's a new cruise missile that you can change its direction within, you know, on its guidance coming in a GPS right away. So you can, if you feel that you might be hitting a friendly target, you can change it to hit that target at a different area or just move it on.
Nice.
So that's more precision, better military capabilities, and I would say the DARPA, which is our research and development arm of the military, they're doing a fine job. I want to give DARPA credit. You know, I didn't put them in there, but President Trump supporting DARPA, supporting different efforts to keep the military sharp, keep them supplied with the finest weaponry, that's where we're going. Okay. The other area, you know, I was working on personally, and Aaron and I talked about it. It was with the Christian genocide. and that was part and parcel of the Nubia Plain region and what happened in Syria also. So here we're talking about the Christians, the Yazidis, the Turkmen and Shabbats, and how that was going to be dealt with. So Chuck and I had developed a program for the Nubia Plain region, a Safety and Security First Initiative, and we brought it to Washington, and we presented it to different, you know, the State Department, and then I was at the UN mission in New York, and Nikki Haley was there, and she governed it, and they had three or four ambassadors and a lot of NGOs from Iraq, and discussing the Christian genocide, and we had representatives from the Yazidis were there, and they're talking about how they were subjected to genocide also. So this is very serious business, and when we went to you know, deal with this, we were working on it for 4 years. We knew about it happening back in, I would say, 2003, 2004, when the discrimination took place. And then, you know, it was heavy sidelining of the Christians and the minority groups, and they all started moving up to Nubia Plain because that was like their last vestige of hope. And now their President Trump made a commitment to them because he had indicated that the U.N. funds going to that region weren't being necessarily allocated appropriately to the minorities. So he made sure that he withdrew the funds from the U.N., and they might have changed the plans, I think, maybe in the last 2 months, but maybe not, that USAID, which is an arm of the State Department, would allocate the monies directly to the minorities, help them come back to Iraq. I think that's significant, knowing this, and knowing that he's acting on behalf, you know, judiciously to help directly when he sees a problem. This is not talked about.
No, I was going to say, and we never hear anything about it.
Yeah, Nikki Haley was on top of this. I mean, you know, and she's, you know, she came in and she conducted a meeting, and they had all these groups from Iraq there at the UN mission. You wouldn't have known this. And we all voiced our concerns, what we thought was, you know, needed to be done, and the president acted. Nikki Haley was right on top of it. She brought it to the UN Security Council. She pointed it out to the UN, and there we're at with that today. So God bless, you know, Nikki Haley and President Trump and Mike Pompeo, too. We can't leave Mike out, but I was giving him kudos for all his work that we were talking about later, which was really magnificent when they were handling the North Korean denuclearization. We can go there now.
Okay. Yeah, Nikki Haley's been doing a really impressive job, and
she's remarkable.
Yeah, she's really done a great job, and really controversy free, which is sort of stunning in this, you know,
well,
day and age.
After I saw it three or four different occasions, but you know, she's pretty strong, and
yeah, she's just been doing her job.
I'm not a small player here. You know, she's a lot different than the previous UN ambassadors, you know. So she's strong, she's an advocate, and she's direct. And she talks from her heart and with compassion and with authority as being the UN ambassador, too. So it's a totally different kind of play there at the UN, and I'm glad she's there.
It's awesome.
Awesome's the word.
All right, so what's next? We're trying not to interrupt the flow.
That in and of itself is historical. And everybody swept it aside because they're talking about everything else in the meantime. But it's still ongoing. And just 2 weeks ago, President Kim talked about him wanting to. This is just not him. He says he wants to denuclearize during President Trump's first term. That's remarkable.
But that is so remarkable that it almost doesn't sound like the truth.
That's right. And that's, you know, everybody's kind of discounting it. And but he has made good faith offers never done before.
Right.
I mean, I've never seen this in the history of North Korea. And, I mean, you're also seeing the extension of a One Korea work. Him and President Moon had met last week. So they're talking about the Olympics, and I think it's 2032, and, you know, they're looking to really denuclearize, and that will have to be what Secretary Pompeo and President Trump and General Mattis come to agreements with, but he's talking about we have to give something up. So I don't know what that would be, you know. Some of the things that he didn't like that I could make a, you know, make a guess would be the TAD missiles we put in there. And he didn't like that at all. And, well, he really doesn't have a choice, but maybe General Mattis and President Trump and Secretary Pompeo can figure that out of what he needs to do, because he's up against it. You know, he doesn't have a lot of choices, but I think he's feeling that he can negotiate some things, and he knows he's under pressure with the sanctions, and they're huge, and China's been putting pressure on him. But somebody's been, you know, using the back doors on that. But, you know, some things have been getting through. But on the whole, he knows that he can trust President Trump and negotiate something through and do something. So what do we see he did in good faith efforts? That was bring back the remains of our U.S. soldiers that were killed in Korea.
Yeah, that's such a big deal, and that was really downplayed.
Yes, yes. How about the release of the hostages? That was downplayed.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if they even really talked about that much at all.
And the destruction of the nuclear site. You know.
Well, I think that part of it, part of his logic in coming around, I think, when we did have our missile strikes in Syria, I think that might have been an eye-opener for him, that we do have the capability of strategically dropping one of those wherever we want and exactly where we want. And
surprise.
He doesn't. He can try to bluff his way through it, but he doesn't have that capability, and he knows we do. So
by far, when he saw the cruise missile strike in Syria from, you know, the different platforms and how we delivered it, there's nothing in the world that compared to that kind of capability.
No.
And he's not even on par. So his generals know that. I think what you're also referring to is the MOHAB.
Right.
And that was the mother of all
mother
bombs.
Mother of all
call
bombs.
It, you know, it's one of our largest bombs we dropped in Afghanistan, which was not so far distant from the Syria strike. And that destroyed ISIS, the Khorasan, in Afghanistan. Now, if you think you can hide in your caverns, your tunnels, or some secret place in North Korea, well, that just got neutralized.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, mostly, I mean, mostly no.
They called you on the wrong on that one, too.
Yeah, not happening.
It's not happening, so he's figuring, you know.
Yeah, he sees that he's not playing on the same field that we're playing on, and he has... he's got nothing to really gain by continuing his present course.
We can reach out at any moment.
Exactly. So
all right, we're going to take a really quick break here. We're going to come back with our guest, Bruce Moran, and chat some more about national security. That's the Trump administration song.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't matter if they don't talk about it. Still going to do it anyway. That's the funny part.
Well, I thought, you know, Secretary Pompeo, he just came over from the CIA. I mean, within weeks, he's on a plane to North Korea. I mean, that's phenomenal. Then he's helping arrange a meeting in Singapore. Come on, you know?
And he's really unflappable. I mean, they ask him questions. He just, like, fires it off and keeps going.
I mean, you're coming from the CIA, and then you're going to meet with Kim. Kim's saying, uh-oh, you know. And he's understanding that this is a real deal.
Yeah, you know? he's like, this is different than that dunce John Brennan.
Yeah, that's right. Or, you know, John Kerry.
John Kerry.
Oh, dear God.
These are, you know, different kinds of people. And, you know, I don't want to go into other names because then I don't want to start maligning people.
Oh, it's okay. We'll do all the mocking for you.
I don't want to continue on this trend because we have to deal with, you know, what's happening and what the president's done and his accomplishments, and they're not being recognized properly and fairly. And if you're looking at what's going on at Iran, well, let's take one step back, and I want to, you know, talk about, you know, Secretary Pompeo, too, a remarkable job he's done. Just unbelievable. And nobody's given him credit in the media. Everybody's trying to do different things for attacking President Trump or the administration. So, and General Mattis, too. So,
yeah, he's really kind of like the secret weapon.
Yeah.
He's just working away in the basement. You know, nobody hears about him very much.
Or Kelly, you know, they're both generals.
True.
I mean, and Pompeo is a West Point guy, you know. So, I mean, these people have the credentials, and, you know, they're in there, and they're fighting, and, you know, whatever you're hearing is coming out of there. I'm sure there's some heated debates about things, but, I mean, accomplishments are what count. It's not what happens in the meantime.
No, that's right.
I mean, the allies fought against each other with Monty and Churchill and, you know, with Patton. A lot of people didn't like Patton. They had to bring him in. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that was, you know, Patton comes in and, you know, lays it out, you know, rescues everybody in, you know, the Battle of the Bulge, Antietam, and, you know, they didn't like him. But, you know, I'm sure these heated, you know, debates happen, but it doesn't make it into the news in the way, you know, like it did today. You got Twitter, you got Facebook, you know, and everybody's tweeting about stuff, and not my style. You know, I find that to be, you know, up and coming. And what's been done is actually for President Trump, it's made it an even playing field because he came in and everybody else had their, I'm talking about the Democrats and Republicans, had their teams in place, but nobody really knew how to use Twitter. So there he is.
Right.
And he basically, you know, was able to use it effectively to take his position to the American people and make his American, you know, great again program, the program he's carrying forth his work on right now. That's remarkable.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a different
Twitter is the mother of all bombs.
with the technology. I mean, none of them really had to deal with that before, or, you know, I think Obama had the opportunity and used it somewhat, but not like Trump
for campaign.
For campaign, yeah. Trump is using it to reach the people, and he's being very effective with it.
Well,
they don't know how to handle that.
If he wasn't being effective, I mean, he's still doing rallies with just tens of thousands of people. I mean, it's a sea of people. So they don't need to report on it. All you have to do is flash on it one time on TV and look at the size of those audiences.
Networks covering it. We know what network covers it. But
sure.
The other networks just downplay it. They don't say that there's a rise and the people are there. They say, oh, his support base. It's more than the support base because it's the people of the United States of America who understood that politicians did not deliver on their word.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about the last five major, you know, policy movements in the foreign policy with the military, with the economic sanctions, with the intelligence gathering capabilities, that was President Trump. And the other presidents, you know, have not done such a complete job in such a short period of time. I don't know when we can talk about that. I mean, you can talk about the founding fathers and Abraham Lincoln and people like that, but talk about delivering on your word and actually keeping your word. On the border, he's still trying to get that done, you know?
Yeah.
Let's,
I worked on back in, we started on 03, 04, I think it was 06, the Secure America Defense Act came up. We worked with Senator Frisk on that. So, you know, these aren't light things we take in when Chuck and I work on things. I mean, these are our national security priorities that haven't been addressed. So President Trump says, take care of defense, we're going to build a wall.
Yeah.
Well,
and he's doing it. But Congress has been lax. You know, part of the wall has gone up, you know, parts, you know, we've seen Texas. But this could have been done if Congress would have acted right away.
Yep.
you know.
No,
I don't get that.
Well, there's so much that he's accomplished that they're just not going to report on. Let's talk about what he's accomplished with the UN. I think there's some pretty amazing stuff going on there, too. And isn't he going to address the UN here, what, next week?
Yeah, the Security Council on Iran. We know what happened in Iran, so that's a deal was made with Senator Kerry, and it might have been earlier with Secretary Clinton, but that whole juxtaposition of verifying and checking the nuclear arms and that, and the deal that went down and how it went down and who it went down with, that was very, very shaky from
shady.
My perspective. what President Trump said, we're going to call you on the rug and come into the UN Security Council, and you're invited.
Mm-hmm.
This is to Iranian leaders.
Why aren't Britain and there's a couple other countries that aren't really going for the or they're not supporting him in that Iranian deal? Why is that?
Well, we have different positions taken by different countries, and I don't want to get into the mud. You know, that's a different thing.
Okay.
It's more about how you want to lay the foundation for a larger national security interest, not just for the United States, but for Europe. And when you look at what has gone down there and how Israel, see, we got to talk about Israel now, then we got to talk about Syria. It's a larger, muddied, picture.
Sure.
But, you know, what he's talking about is changing the tone, the frame, and the crisis readiness, crisis preparedness to deal with Iran. And he wants them to come to the table. He'll talk with them like he talked with Kim. See what I mean? It's a different president.
Right.
So, you know, it's complicated in a sense that I can go into it, but we take another segment of stuff I don't want to talk. I really don't want to talk about that in the sense of going in greater detail. We can talk about it on another show.
Okay. Well, it's just interesting because in the past, it seems like we have 15 meetings that go on for, you know, a number of years to have one meeting.
Yeah, nothing has been done.
But under President Trump, it's like you have one meeting to have one meeting.
Yeah, and the last time he shook them up was all over the UN budget. And a lot of them stepped up and said, well, I mean, I think they realized that they need the United States.
Yeah. The NATO, you got to make your contribution, and they
that's
started
right.
putting more kind of weapons and personnel in there to support
yes.
their own countries. That's not bad.
No, that's I don't think that's bad. I mean, it's,
no, it's really
their
good,
security. I think that's their duty to.
Was. Everybody's sitting on their butts and doing
right.
their own things and having the United States kind of watch over you, and you're doing your fair share. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Sure, didn't like it, but
share.
That's
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that they need to take an active hand in helping to pay for their own security. So that
and
was
more.
A good thing.
And more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about what we'll be talking about later, and I was appalled that I had to write some of the stuff in there, but that's the stuff we talk about, you know, within our private circles, and then we send to Washington and talk about there. But I put some things out that I think need to be addressed and haven't been. And but let's finish up here, please.
Okay.
With the Iran nuclear problem, that in and of itself, you know, given a ton of money back to them that we held, you know, back because of their threatening to attack Israel. Then we're moving the Israel capital to Jerusalem. There's a big to-do about that. You see what I mean? We can get into a lot of different things that President Trump did. But people don't realize when he moved the... this is like the border security check and I worked on back in 2003, and it went into effect with Senator Frisk in 2006. This is probably enacted by the Congress back in 52, maybe 54, that Jerusalem should be the capital.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah,
nobody wanted.
About.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
No president did it. They said that several presidents said they would. I don't want to go in who they were, but you know, but they never carried forth. Here's President Trump saying, "Done."
Yeah.
Jerusalem's the capital. You know, going to be the, you know, we're going to put our embassy.
Yeah. You know, that's just not the way things are done, though. Well, come on, I mean.
And you know, the other facet of this is every time he, you know, we're going to meet with North Korea, we're going to move the capital to, or the embassy to Jerusalem, you know, every time one of these things happens, it's going to be the end of the world. You know, this is going to set off, you know,
he's
some
not
sort
qualified
of
to
chain
make these
reaction, and nothing bad happens.
No, good happens.
Yeah, nothing bad happens, though. It's kind of funny.
And I think North Korea was a classic example of that. They went nuts when he was going to meet with him. And
Armageddon.
Had no business. Armageddon, he doesn't have the qualifications. It's going to be a mess. And now look.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It's better now.
Yeah, so. And there's, I didn't write that in there, but Nikki Haley was vehement with what was going on in the Palestinian area. So was President Trump. So that's another, you know, 10-15 minute discussion, and how they're dealing with Israel, how they're dealing with the Palestinians and funding them, and that's a whole different ball game. You know, that's what I'm saying. You can get into these things, and you have to start getting into the meticulous parts of what's going on in each of these areas because they're geopolitical. And Netanyahu, you know, supporting, you know, like President Trump and President Obama trying to get him unelected. I mean, these kind of things are part and parcel to how people are looking at Israel, how part and parcel to how Israel's surviving. And, you know, they're a democracy in the middle of a, you know, whole area, and they've been prosperous. So, to me, this is, you know, pretty straightforward in a way that President Trump says something, he delivers on his word, and all of a sudden...
Yeah, all of a sudden, we're looking at a different playing field, and that's, I think...
That shakes people up.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to take a break, but let's stay on this vein. When we come back, let's talk about...
We are being so diligent today.
Yeah, we're gonna stay
on point
here.
Our guest today is Bruce Moran. He's with Security Solutions Technologies. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
If you're last, it's a mystery, but I guess they don't know what they're talking about. From the mountains down to the sea, you become such a habit with me. America, America. Well, I come from down round Tennessee, but the people in California are nice to me. America. It don't matter where I may roam, tell you people that it's home sweet home. America, America.
In wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
We thought John Brennan needed his own song.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought about was John Brennan. I think we're going to talk about him. Are we going to talk about him now?
I think we can. Okay.
Yeah. What a great lead-in right there.
Oh, geez, Louise. God bless America and all of us.
And a little Waylon Jennings, and we just, like, veered off into some George Thorogood.
Bad to the bone would be Chief of Staff Kelly. I mean, you're talking about Marines and, you know...
That's the good bad to the bone.
I don't want to... You know, from the shores of Tripoli, you know, all that go back, you know... Back to the founding fathers, and when they first were dealing with these kind of things, the Marines are our best. You know, Fort Campbell out there, and Paris Island, and I was talking to a girl on the street. She was carrying her Marine, her uniform on her back. I said, "Where you at?" She said, "I'm a recruiter for the Marines." I go, "God bless you, you know."
Yeah.
Thank you for your service, and you know, I saw the Marine, you know, out, you know, uniform, and I said, "Once a Marine, always a Marine." She said, "Yes."
Well, we're creeping up on the Marine Corps birthday.
The men and women serving, and they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And our friends that are Navy SEALs and our friends that are in different, you know, parts of the branches of Marine Recon units and our 101st and all the people serving, you know, over there in Fort Campbell. You know, we got a lot of people we're training all over, you know. So, you know, Coronado, in Virginia Beach. I mean, we have people ready to deploy, you know, right out of North Carolina there to Fort Bragg. I mean, 24/7, Southern Command down there in Tampa. I mean, these guys are going, and they're going 24/7. So our country's being protected. President Trump knows that, and he's supporting these efforts. So
yep. It's a very sobering for our enemies.
Oh, are you kidding?
No.
Talking about bad to the bone.
Not this time.
Yeah, I know.
That's who we are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we believe in. That's what's been taken away from us, so.
No, yeah. I think they're starting to look at us more seriously.
Dignity, back.
Yeah, we're getting back into the driver's seat. All right, so we've got a little less than 10 minutes or so. What do you want to do on John Brennan before we break at the hour?
I found it to be quite disconcerting what he was saying on TV.
Which time?
John Brennan was talking about the president being treasonous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That time.
Enemy of the state. What we just conveyed here in what President Trump has done is the opposite of being an enemy of the state and being treasonous. This is beyond compared to what a former CIA director would come on TV and talk about. To me, that's very wacky.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I said wacky and zany, you know. And Chuck was beside himself, too. So why would a former CIA director be doing this? I mean, we must be getting close to the epicenter of stuff he's done.
Yeah.
And they're getting desperate.
Yeah, because a real CIA director would be thrilled by what he's doing. I mean, this is...
Well,
this
besides
is
that, a real CIA director would keep his mouth shut. Actually, he wouldn't be on CNN.
Or like George Tenet or, you know, people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, under President Bush, you know, under Clinton. So this is the first time if ever you want to see a director come out like that, then you say, yeah, let's remove his security clearance, you know. And what am I referring to? By his actions. He had snooped, spied on our Senate Intelligence Committee. If people would go to the website and pull that down, that's unbelievable.
Oh,
what the heck is he doing spying on our U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee?
Yeah, I particularly got enthralled in this portion of the material you sent when it got down to Cherry Blossom and Weeping Angel and some of the stuff that got released to the public. Or leaked.
It was under his...
was under his watch, and it wasn't an accident. But it really was an eye opener.
I can't say that, but you can't.
Exactly. But
that's why we have Bill.
These are probable directions that have been taken, and we need to look into it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
As working on that level, national security, you try to keep a proper perspective on what you need to do now, how to get it done, and to what extent it needs to get done. These things that happened in the past have to be completely addressed, like Bill is saying, and it looks not good at all for, you know, John Brennan.
Oh, no, he opened up a can of worms,
And he just can't, it's like he can't shut up. He has, like, diarrhea of the mouth lately. You know, every time a camera shines on him, he's like, you know, the president, this and that. And it's like,
yeah, but there's so much
does
of what,
this?
What,
and he's
what,
in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, a lot of this
he's got his fingerprints on
national
everything.
Security. And he is, I don't know, I think he's blowing it. And particularly with some of the tradecraft and whatnot that he's exposing, I mean, that's damaging.
It's our national security has been compromised.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
I don't think people realize.
Did he act and not act? And, you know, that has to be addressed. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't talk about him doing what he's doing. I mean, he's...
Do you think it will be addressed?
Stuff up in terms of what may have happened, but I don't know. You have to go in there. But what we could... You know, it's a... unrelentless maligning of the President of the United States. I don't like that.
No.
Character assassination. I mean, you know, and you see other people on the networks, they're like pseudo-psychiatrists.
Oh, everybody is, yeah.
I mean, and saying, you know, they're invoking the, it's called the 25th Amendment.
25th right. Amendment.
And that's like the craziest thing I've ever seen. If you look at what we just expressed in the first hour, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's a remarkably that they would even attempt to try to, what we call in the business, psychops.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's terrible.
Well, if you don't, if you don't talk about the good things that he's gotten done, then and only talk about, you know, this other stuff, you can maybe float that 25th out there, but there's so much good stuff that he's been able to accomplish. There's no way you can say that he isn't fit for the job. He's done more than...
No, there's no way a crazy person, you know, put that all together.
No.
He just got lucky, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. It was all holdover stuff from the previous administration. That was the only reason he could get it done is they
kept
their nose down. And
I should have known that.
Yeah, that was all they're doing. I'm sorry, I digress.
No, that's quite all right. The dialogue here is healthy because the American people need to hear this. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to convey is what I know, and then to create a larger frame to understand what President Trump has done, because he strategically, in crisis readiness and crisis preparedness, has definitely dealt with enemies of the state and imminent threats.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Very effectively.
Administrations for 30 years have been monkeying around with everything we've been talking about. They haven't really kept their word on all this.
Sure. Well, we've been doing, you know, like Band-Aid diplomacy for a long time. You know, let's go over and be nice to them and have a fancy meeting and let's get that all over television. And look, we all sat around together and, you know, had snacks together. It was so great.
Well, we threw James Taylor out there, too. That was a biggie. That
true.
Was a diplomatic
Took James Taylor
move.
Over there.
Yeah.
That was some trade
bicycles
craft right
for
there.
Everybody.
Yeah. Pink bicycles. Girl bicycles. Yeah.
That's kind of the thing inferring here, but it goes deeper than that. And
deeper than John Kerry riding a girl bicycle?
Sorry, Bruce.
All right, we got 1 minute.
Every time I hear John Kerry's name, I see a pink girl bicycle. Terrible, ruined me. Yikes. Okay, so we're talking with our guest, Bruce Moran. We're going to get into this dossier and a whole bunch of really interesting stuff second hour. So
yeah, why they didn't want Trump and
yes,
and who it was that didn't want Trump and who's involved in this whole dossier nonsense.
It's pretty interesting stuff. I think you guys will really like this. So I would suggest you go to wethepeopleradio.us and pull up what we have on today's show today, just for your references, September 23rd. I don't know when you're listening to it, but it was September 23rd on our website.
Really interesting read, and it'll kind of put everything in context for you.
We're back with our guest, Bruce Moran, after this.
Some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansions, suitcases, where everything's on a need to know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kind of wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark sunglasses on, and I had my weapon drawn. So I get my hand. Classified Nazi, the phones like, yeah. Shredding the files like, yeah. I memorized all the enemy spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah.
a party in the CIA.
Why?
That's my favorite song. We played that one with Lyle, but Bruce never heard it. So
never ever.
I didn't want to cheat him out of it. There are actually three verses. I picked the best one though. All right. So this is the beginning of the second hour of We the People Radio. We're going to be talking about some fun things this hour. Not funny, but like. Kind of wow fun, I guess,
yeah,
for that.
National
security items. There you have it. And we have a sponsor this hour.
Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Go up and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. They're our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. And they'll do a great job for you, parts, sales, and service. Their phone number is 226-9226. New, used, they've got it all going on up there, and a great bunch of folks, and they'll give you a great deal on a tractor. You can also get them online or on the web at readingtractors.com. Phone number 226-9226.
Because if you're going to buy a tractor, it should be either green or orange, because the rest of them kind of suck.
Yeah, they're all copycats.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
Just a little trailer I put there on your commercial.
Yeah, thanks for that. Now you know why they do a disclaimer at the beginning.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's so handy.
Yeah,
as long as we have it, might as well use it.
Stay out of my commercial.
Don't want to waste. So, all right, Bruce. So we figured
come
we were
with the twin 50 cals on them.
When we deliver it, it'll be just exactly the way you want it.
Exactly
that's right.
What
bulletproof,
you want.
Bulletproof under over and two twin 50 cals on top.
With no pop tires.
Okay.
Oh yeah. All right. So, where do we want to talk about all this? You want to do the dossier stuff now?
Did we really get all John Brennan's stuff out
no.
there?
I think.
Are we done mocking him?
We can bring in Chuck and talk about the other part of this, but let's start from the beginning of the dossier. I think that's a good area to.
Sure.
This was a very appalling to me. I mean, from the get-go, and it's not really been talked about in the news. And here we have Christopher Steele, who's MI6. That's an ally.
Yeah.
He's doing spying on a U.S. president and coming up with dirt on a U.S. president. What the heck is going on here, America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have an ally, MI6.
And this was during the election, though, right?
This is
be supported through an FBI group, and then Bruce Orr later, after they said he was discredited, probably not discredited, but they had to say he was. That's what I'm saying. This is way beyond the scope of just, you know, what we call a James Bond movie. This is high end.
Oh, they were so out of line.
Security.
Yeah.
And it's infiltrated the CIA and the FBI. And a lot of people are livid about this. So I'm trying to address this on a scale where people can get an idea of the possibilities and how this transpired and where we can go from there.
Well, I think you did a pretty good job with the material you sent, putting it in somewhat of a chronological order on the dossier, who handled it prior to it going to a judge, what was not disclosed to the judge in order to get the
warrant.
For all those
people who haven't read it and who aren't online,
yeah, go.
Let's buzz through that.
Yeah, we could buzz through it. It's
well, I'm appalled at that. Judicial Watch did a fine job with Finn, Tom, and everybody.
Sure.
Where did the information initially come from? And Christopher Steele, MI6, is Orbis. So they're talking about Fusion GPS, but for all intents and purposes, there's a huge problem here, folks, that MI6 or others that are related to MI6 had been involved in trying to take down the President of the United States when he was running, you know, when this first came out. You know, he was a president-elect, then he was the candidate, and then he was actually a president. And they kept going with the FISA warrants.
Mm-hmm.
What ticks me off. I mean, they were relentless. And then you see all the other stuff coming up later, character assassination to psychops. I mean, you tried doing that at the beginning, and you know, but then it got, in the last month, it's picked up. It's really driving me to the point where I'm saying, this is just ridiculous. And the American public should be told, at least to the best of our ability, that what's going on and how this came about in a certain way where it's just not right to have foreign interference in our own elections. They're talking about the Russians, you know, and that's like piddly to compare to what was being done, spying on the president of the United States, the president-elect of the United States, the transition team, the Trump family, and, everybody working on the campaign, going all the way back to Carter, you know, so. And Mike Flynn, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, he got crushed.
That's despicable.
Yep.
That's so deplorable. I mean, it's hard for me to...
Well, nobody's safe. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Bottom line is, if you're an ally of somebody they don't like, you're a target.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter if you did anything or not. They're coming after you. And if they can't find anything direct, they'll make up some stuff. They'll go back 15 years or however long you got to go.
Yeah. So they call it a opposition research dossier. Well, it's really spying. No one's talking about that. It's
sure.
Basically spying on the president. Or president-elect. Or, a presidential candidate on the Republican Party.
So where did Steele get all this information? Who was he working with?
That's the question.
Himself.
We know he was working there, but who was behind him at Orbis and who was supporting his efforts directly or indirectly, entities or governments or other intelligence networks. That's what I go into there explaining.
And what exactly is Orbis? And it's O-R-B, like boy, I-S, right?
That's his company.
Okay. So is it just him?
No. They're international. I want to, for all intents and purposes, you want to know what they're doing, how they're doing it, to what extent they're doing it, and who they're doing it with, and who they recruited to do it. I mean, that's pretty extensive. That's doing a complete background on, I'm thinking they're running for their cover right now, because we talked about this earlier in the week, and they don't know what to do. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're our brothers and sisters. They all know who we are, too. And if some of them have gone to the extent to try to remove a president of the United States, and, maybe Rosenstein, was talking about the 25th Amendment. We don't know to what extent that was part of the whole larger, framework of what they were doing. How far did it go up? Who was involved? To what extent was it involved? And how were they doing this? That's the question. And that's where I'm appalled. I'm really appalled. I'm beside myself that, we have all these ideals and, these are our friends, and how did that come about? We know, Christopher Steele uses resources and network. His network is MI6. We're talking about the elite British clandestine efforts all over the world. These guys are good. They know us. We know them. See what I mean?
Yeah. And
we're
when
brothers
did,
and sisters.
When did
so
this,
what's going on here?
When did this dossier first, when did we, I mean, not the general public, but when did this first kind of hit the scene? Because it seems like we've been hearing about it for a long time, but not really. Did the public or did anybody know about this before the election, or was it only after?
No, this was before. They talked about it as being part of the FISA warrant.
Right, but we didn't hear about any of that stuff until after Trump was elected.
Oh, no.
Right? Did we hear about this before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was done way before.
Seems like we've been hearing about it for years, but I know it hasn't been that long.
It was developed to keep him from being elected.
I know, but did we know that? Did the...
What I'm talking about, we didn't know about.
Yeah, okay.
What I was talking about, we knew about.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Wow.
I don't actually have a song for that,
and I'm so sorry.
Everybody's eyes were on a Fusion GPS.
Okay.
See, that's different than what I'm talking about.
That's true. All right, we're gonna figure out what we're talking about. We're gonna come back and talk about it in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Our guest is Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology, and we're gonna be talking about what we're talking about with the dossier here in just a couple minutes. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Time to cheat. cheap.
That I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, so who's the big bad wolf?
Exactly.
Hey, we're talking about the dossier, and I wanted to read one paragraph from the information you sent, Bruce. It kind of says a lot about the dossier. The FBI also had reason to view his research with skepticism on grounds that it's tabloid-like allegations and also on the near fantastical claims of skill that underlay it. That a man who had been out of official spy rings for 7 years was nonetheless able, in a matter of weeks, and with just a few calls from London, where he lives, to unravel an international conspiracy that eluded the CIA, FBI, MI6, and every other Western intelligence agency, all of which have access to the globe's most sophisticated surveillance tools. So this Christopher Steele was a smart guy. I mean, he had all this right there.
He was a visionary.
He was a visionary. And they took this information, edited or not, or who knows who had it prior, and gave it to a judge to get the warrant. And I don't know how they can get away with that. And I just hope that somewhere down the road that someone's held accountable. Because they shouldn't be able to do that. You're up, Bruce.
That is part of a small piece that I'm conveying and Chuck are conveying in this presentation on national security,
mm-hmm.
on how it relates to a dossier, any kind of dossier and a warrant that goes before the FISA court. You have to have your facts right. You have to have your intelligence right. From what we can see, it's just not done in a short period of time.
No.
You want to know how far back it goes, how many people are involved with it, and, you know, where it was planned strategically and operationally went into effect. And I'm talking about where in England, where he lives, maybe Europe, where he associates his, contacts with in the clandestine
right.
efforts, and then where in Russia, and then where in Canada, because we saw this also took place in Canada. So how did this all come about? And, see, I can ask the questions. I may know some of the answers, but what I'm trying to do is lay the groundwork to open people's eyes to this is much larger national security problem that's being presented right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a huge problem in national security breaches and what was used and how it was used and who these people were. You know, I mean, what we're looking at is how was the FBI and the CIA involved with this? Because the CIA is, you know, all over the world, like MI6. So you have a larger extent of networks or tentacles where a lot of information is shared back and forth
mm-hmm.
with all our brothers and sisters and everybody in, you know, the State Department and all throughout the world. That's what I'm saying. So how was it used? To what extent was it used? And how did they mask it? And what part of it was all clandestine? And how did this all come about? For all intents and purposes, it doesn't come about in 2 weeks, like it said there.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then, so what's all this connection? You have a note in here. I don't know if I'm above or below the part Bill was doing, but so why was Senator McCain handling backdoor operations for the dossier at the Halifax Security Conference? What's up with that? And that was the first place to accept the dossier. And was that the first time we heard about it?
My question is, what was the Halifax conference?
Oh, okay. I figured I just didn't know.
What
you don't know either.
There in the first place.
Right.
What was it supposed to be?
It's a security conference, but what else were they doing there?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Okay, that's the question. That's
okay, right. All right. So,
if Sir Andrew Wood had developed the information and he's handing it off, that's to Senator McCain, and then this is going before a secret FISA court. How secret is the information, you know?
Yeah, right. No kidding. So then what did McCain do with it?
He gave it to the
FBI.
Then he gave it to the FBI.
Yeah.
So then... Yeah, so why didn't they give it to the FBI?
Yeah, or anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it's interfering with a presidential campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
And so has anybody asked them that?
I don't know what's going on in the committees behind closed doors.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we haven't heard about any of that out in the free world.
No.
No, but that kind of shows you how deep this goes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And
who is involved,
and who is involved.
Maybe it's people that don't, you know.
Could it be people who just didn't want Trump to be president? John McCain? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that just kind of shows you how deep and how many people in Europe and in the EU and Britain and Germany, all these countries that didn't want their little apple cart upset, and they knew Trump was going to upset the apple cart, and so let's see what we can do to kind of keep him from being elected. And do you think a lot of this happened, Bruce, because they didn't think Trump had a chance of winning, and so they were going to, you know.
It didn't
we would have never known about any
was.
Of this had Hillary won the election. This would have never come to light. And that might have been why it was a little bit sloppy, because they really didn't believe Trump would be elected. Does that sound right?
If you work in the areas that I'm speaking of, everything's a possibility. So you're prepared with contingency plans to handle it.
Well, it doesn't sound like their contingency plan was very good when Trump got elected.
I'm not saying that at all. You're saying that.
Right.
I don't know what the contingency plan is. You're looking at it superficially.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's very sophisticated, and it had greater undertones.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. I think there was a lot of players here.
So just for time frame, when was this Halifax conference? Ballpark.
I think we're in 17 with that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Okay. I just was curious.
Yeah.
So, your note here. So much for secret dossier information being secret for the FISA court when everybody and their mother had, you know, copies of it, was feeding it to the media. That whole thing is... I don't know. Breathtaking. Has this ever happened? Can you think of an instance where this has happened in the past?
Not to the scale.
All right.
Not to the FBI, not to the CIA. Not at all.
Hmm. Wow. And
that's why it's appalling.
And are they investigating any of this that you know of, or is this all just...
Well, Tom Fitton's doing his end with Judicial Watch on the front end with Fusion GPS.
Mm-hmm.
They've come up with so much stuff.
Well,
the Judicial Watch.
The front end out. It's hard to prove the back end out.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, one of the things moving down your list here was, we were talking about FISA warrants. And how those FISA warrants are obtained and what we need to do to keep this from happening again. Do you want to go there?
And skip all the other stuff? Okay.
No.
No,
wait,
go
back.
How much time do we got left?
Half hour.
We got about 30 minutes.
Translate
you want to go back
20
and,
minutes?
And pick it up where we left off? Maybe that would be better.
Yeah, we can invite... Chuck on, then we can go over some of the things we're passing by. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Chuck was supposed to come on, but he couldn't get on today.
He was tied up today. Okay.
I'm, you know, taking the helm for as much as I can here. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. I can go into greater details, but we're talking about espionage and terrorism. And that goes into, you know, clandestine work and ghost operations using 5E and things like that. And that's what has to be looked into. And what I'm saying here, and I'm going to say it this way, they should never do it again and never get involved in the U.S. election. These are our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Find themselves in this kind of position, just stay away. Because you're getting called on the rub for it right now, and it's just not right.
Right.
If you think you can monkey around with the U.S., you got, you know, there could be severe repercussions.
Right. No, I think there's huge lessons to be learned here.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
And the way I said it. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Was Christopher Steele actually working? Because he worked for us for a while, and I know he was part of MI6. What was he doing when he was doing all this?
Everybody knows each other when they're working with the Russians, and the Russians know you're working on the other side.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, with you, I mean, there's nothing a secret here except
sure.
Secret with them.
Right. Except for the fact that, yeah, they were investigating.
The reason why he had to come forward is because I think 8 of them were exposed in Europe. So he's one of the 8 of MI6.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So the other time I can talk about this is Eldridge Ames, and he's still serving time, you know, when he was caught. But we lost 8 of our operatives. They were killed by the Russians. So that was a serious, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so it can get that far and that serious. And that's where I don't want to go. And, you know, if people who are our allies are doing things geopolitically to protect their interests and to counter American policy programs, that's the right to do that. But the consequences are they're sacrificing their own national security and ours, and we can't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We can't allow that to happen.
Well, you know that Trump was an outsider when you have this many insiders doing everything they can to torpedo him. I mean, that's a, you know, that's kind of obvious. Got to take another really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Each day's a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
Have it.
My FBI songs are all used up now.
Yeah.
If somebody would make a new one, I'd use it, darn it.
Okay.
All right, Bruce, where do you want to go?
Okay, so the Halifax conference was November 16th, 17th, and 18th. So it's just right after the election.
Uh-huh.
It was during the transition, okay?
Oh, yeah.
President Trump was forming a transition team, and he was president-elect. So they're coming in full force at that time.
Now that the worst had happened, this was their insurance policy, and
that's what was said by
Peter Strzok.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe Strauss and Lisa Page. So, you know, or that would have been by
Peter Strzok that said that.
Yeah, their little
Lisa
insurance
Page.
Policy.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of information I have running up in my head, and I want to make sure I get that right. That's why I want to make sure that the Halifax conference in Canada was correct, so people know chronologically how they can think about this and what means people were using to, go after the president of the United States.
Yeah. So John McCain would
remember at the time when they had Michael Flynn too, right then.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah, and it wasn't all these other people. They went after the person they thought would be the one who would directly move President Trump's agenda forward the quickest, the fastest.
Get him off the playing field.
They got him off the playing field.
Right. But, that was the plan was, let's see, who's the biggest problem for us? Flynn, let's get rid of him first.
That's right.
And that was a precision strike on him.
That's right.
Yeah, it's sad.
I was excited when they named him. I thought, well, he'll be awesome.
Well, one of the things I was reading here, too, we were talking about.
H.R. McMaster came in, and, he did, a decent job, as you saw. A lot of these programs that were instituted, under President Trump and Mathis and Pompeii and Ambassador Haley. But even with his own dad in the care center being killed, pummeled in the head, you have to wonder what's going on,
I guess I didn't know about that.
Wait. Who was that? McMaster?
Yeah, his dad was in the elder care center, and evidently they got bludgeoned in the head.
Holy cow.
If things are not looking good, it's not looking good for what the heck is going on,
Yeah.
So people can look that up, and you can have him answer it and what he feels, if it was an accident or, it was a criminal act, But it didn't seem right when it surfaced, and he's our national security advisor, to the president.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of the things I guess I didn't realize that you'd mentioned in some of the stuff you sent us was that we were talking about Strzok and Page. Strzok and Page were having an affair. Were both FBI, but then she also had an affair with one of the FISA judges.
The one that recruits himself, that's correct.
Yeah. So, You're fighting kind of an uphill struggle here.
I've got a lot of songs for that, but we won't play them.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my point on that. Whatever they wanted to do was their personal business. That's okay by me. But the point of departure comes that they're working on, he was head of a counterterrorism, unit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supporting that effort, and then they had to deal with FISA warrants.
Right.
That, to me, is a national security violation on their parts.
Well, it's a huge
compromise. That's what I'm saying.
Conflict of interest there, too.
Yeah, that's different, though, but the compromise part, here's a point that probably people aren't taking up, and who was compromised in the CIA because of that?
And
they made him step down. General Petraeus. That's right. And now we have Lisa Page and Peter Strzok in there, and they're having a compromised relationship. I don't care if they had a relationship. You see what I mean? That's their personal business. But when they're working on counterterrorism and they can be put at risk.
Right, right.
Their families, and I don't know what, they can get killed. And that's the kind of thing that's not right, just from a national security perspective. That's mm-hmm. a security breach. That's the kind of thing that can cause numerous problems, and that's just in the FBI there. And the CIA had the same problem, or DEA or, the kind of things that go on are, between the people themselves, and that's okay. But to the extent you do it and what your job responsibilities are to your country, see what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
It's different. The responsibilities of country came first.
Sure.
Not what they're doing in their personal lives
right.
coming first.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, except that their responsibilities to the country from their perspective were different than what we thought they should be doing.
You can say it that way.
Yeah, they were keeping their responsibilities in order.
They're responsible for a lot of clandestine activities that are underneath them going on with all the different maskings and the FISA warrants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Were issued. It's just not this one group with Carter Page. It's a whole slew of things that transpired when they're in there, and You know, how can they get compromised? And the Chinese, the Russians, you know, anybody coming in and putting them on edge and twisting them, you know, or, you know, eliminating them.
Right.
And then forcing the other one to, you know, tell them what's going on with the FISA warrants on the Russians or, you know, whoever they're doing.
Well, and also with this type of activity going on within the departments.
We're talking also about counterterrorism here. So what was the number one counterterrorist thing we talked about earlier? I want to emphasize this.
Okay.
ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
If they're working on this kind of stuff and they get compromised and ISIS, you know, terrorist comes through and eliminates them and starts compromising our FBI at that level. You see what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a different story, Connors, you know.
Well, the other part that you had outlined in here, and I've completely blown the outline because I don't know where we are in it now. But
I know. I mean, it's easy to cover a lot of territory. I guess what I'm saying.
I know. There's a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm feeling a little hamster on a wheel here. I just want to make sure we don't run out of time before we tell people things that I don't think they have heard before. The fact that Paige was sleeping with a judge, I think, I'm not sure that that's been widely circulated. And the other whole idea that they were investigating something at a level that actually should have been done through the field office, the chain of command on how all these investigations should be done. Maybe you could get into some of that to let people know just how, I mean, nobody knows anything about how the FBI works, really, you know. I mean, we don't know how it's supposed to work, so we wouldn't know if they did it wrong.
Yeah, the FBI headquarters is basically a function of management, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Director Comey, Andrew McCabe, you know, Stratz. He's like a manager. And the head director would be, you know, Comey, or the acting director would be McCabe. And they usually give it to a field office where there's a special agent in charge and a assistant special agent in charge. They call it SAC and ASAC. And then over there, they'll have a, call it a squad leader or field leader, and he's the agent in charge of several agents. And then they'll sign a case to the, a particular agent or co-agent that work together on it.
And they're the ones that actually do the investigating.
That's the investigation part, yeah.
Right.
So how was all this being handled up through top management, which really normally handled down... It's not down, you see what I mean? It's handled by people who can go out in the field and actually do the investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're, you know... So a conflict of interest would be, from my perspective, he's handling two major historical investigations that are running concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillary Clinton email investigation, and he's doing the one on the Russian collusion on President Trump. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, how can anybody in management at the FBI say that's okay? I mean, that's a question they need to, you know, talk about.
Well, yeah, they need to ask that because I think that that gets to the point of how many people were involved in, you know, this biased... Say it again?
The other way around.
How few people were involved.
Yeah. And who should have been involved.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
what's the normal versus, you know, what they wanted to have done.
So all your checks and balances basically went out the window with all of this.
Well, let them answer it. See, I asked the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, those are questions that are important to be asked.
But in real life, an investigation, if they were investigating something, it wouldn't be done at that level. That's not where the investigating comes. That's where the overview of the investigation is done.
Well, he's the FBI director, so he directs it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give it to a SAC, a special agent in command in the office. And then the ASAC and him, you know, work it out. And then they got their all the other things you know about counterterrorism in that office. And they got to find out the field supervisor. And they talk to him, and then they got to give it to an agent or a co-agent that work on it. That's kind of, that goes back 30 years, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, these are important things that need to be addressed. You know,
Yeah, they aren't there.
I think being assigned two key historical cases is definitely a conflict of interest, you know. So
it's a conflict of interest, but to say it's criminal, that's kind of a different story, isn't it?
Well, that's when you get into what actually happened.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. did they actually do? How much did they insert?
That's why you gotta, you know, you're finding out more and more, so, you know.
Well, and you just know that...
It's really bad. You know, what you're saying is, you know, it could go there, and then, you know...
And like you were saying, why
pointing out what... A good attorney asks questions. A mm-hmm. good investigator asks, that's what I'm doing, I'm asking the questions.
Right. But you're right, it looks bad.
I'm not claiming one way or the other. That's what the House and Senate are there for, mm-hmm. oversight. You know, that's what the Justice Department is there for.
Right.
That's what the president needs to come to terms with when he makes decisions about what they're looking at with the disclosure of the FISA, you know, mm-hmm. FISA warrants and dossiers.
Well, you have these
high-end disclosures, high-end investigative processes that have to be addressed.
Sure.
Now, I'm talking about all the way back to Orbis. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you're picking up one here. We got a whole slew of things that look not too good and appalling.
No. It's a whole chain of disaster that actually you don't have to fill in any blanks. They're all really right there for you. I really hope people will go review this information. We're basically just hitting the high points of this, but there's a tremendous amount of information, and it's not just opinion. There's all sorts of backup information. We've posted it all. It's at wethepeopleradio.us today. That we're first airing this is September 23rd of 2018, just in case we actually replay this on another day and get y'all confused. But hope you go look at it, and we'll be right back in 2 minutes with our guest, Bruce Moran.
The fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns.
I like the Elmer Fudd version of this song.
I just like the hell overtones.
And it burns,
yeah.
Burns,
I mean, honestly, these guys are all in the ring of fire at this point. They have stepped in it big time. And people are, you know, hey, if we can figure it out.
I mean, Hannity's been talking about certain facets of the front end. Lou Dobbs is covering a little bit of middle end, you know, and the front end. Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, doing a terrific job. There's a larger, picture at play on strategic plans and operations and how all this went down. And that's what you're talking about, Johnny Cash and Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
That is just appalling and pathetic. And you know, our brothers and sisters out there in Ukraine and Europe, thank you for listening to, and God bless you all. We're just trying to get some semblance of what's going on here politically and with the investigative services and how they've possibly been manipulated and used in a presidential election. So that's where we're at. It's really something you couldn't write in a novel.
No. It'd be too long.
Wouldn't be believable.
It'd be too complicated. It'd be like those Russian ones where you can't keep track of the names.
What we're trying to do here is clarify the questions that need to be asked, understand the dynamic we're working in, what has happened in a short period of time of 8-9 months, and how serious it was, and national security breaches that occurred, FISA warrant problems, the FISA application itself, the people involved with the FISA warrant application. If you go to the end of the material, it talks about very serious questions that need to be asked and where you need to go from there. There was a Brennan report that talked about the FISA problems back in 2015. If these problems exist back then people knew how to manipulate the system to their favor politically, and they are never, settled. You see what I mean?
Which that kind of surprised me. Brennan came out with that report.
No, that's not John Brennan. This is a different Brennan.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't confuse the two.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. I mean, it's confusing enough as it is to try to figure out who Fivey is and, what Cherry Blossom is, and because we deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
You know that there's always going to be a man in the middle, and they can make a false footprint pretending they're somebody else who they're not.
Yeah.
You can blame it on, the Chinese, the Russians, or anybody else.
But do you think that's part of what...
James Comey knew this, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not anything new in these circles, but it's... as you look at the Cherry Blossom project and the way they use it, they can come into the TV, to your car, to your stereo. So that's a problem if you're investigating the Senate Intelligence Committee and they're using these techniques on mm-hmm. their own U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And there's John Brennan right there, front and center, and he wants a security clearance.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And it doesn't prove itself out. You can't say who John Brennan was. You have to look at what John Brennan's actions were.
Right.
Does he deserve a security clearance?
No.
For all intents and purposes, if you look at historically what he's done and his positions and with the previous administration are different than what the positions with this current administration is and what they've done. And how effective they've been with President Kim, Syria, ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Right.
And it's a transformational foreign policy by President Trump, doing a tremendous job. And, again, Ambassador Haley, Vice President Pence, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And all our friends at the Heritage Foundation, that help out. I mean, there's a lot of people helping out here and making their contributions. As you saw, Jim Carafino's name was mentioned there. And he knows the score. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at it, and everybody's trying to do their best effort to support the national security interest of the United States of America. Chuck and I are making our contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing because, Watergate was such a big scandal. And honestly, this makes Watergate look like a lemonade stand operation.
That you're giving it. You're giving the lemonade stand too much credit.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to think of something small.
Isn't that the truth? This thing is so complex.
I mean, this is far beyond a lemonade stand, And
no, but I mean, they got...
goes into so bad, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that was considered a big scandal, and yet this, every time you turn around, and I wanted to make sure and mention for people who wanted more information or just were looking for other corroboration on this. Now, let's not forget, at the exact same time all this stuff is happening, there is that document that we spoke with Dr. Lyle Rapacki about on September 2nd. So this was a few weeks ago, and he went... into great detail, but we listed the document that was published about how to take down the president, basically, how to take out Trump. And that came out at the beginning of 2017. Mm-hmm. So all these things were hitting at the exact same time. And I don't think that happened after the election. I mean, I think you'd have to be kind of an idiot to think that they somehow got all this stuff off the ground that quickly. They had it all staged and ready to go.
It didn't have to be Trump being elected, remember that. Could have been somebody else you were going to come after.
Well, that's the frightening part.
Not Hillary.
Anybody they didn't like. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if Hillary lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ted Cruz won or,
Sure, they would have geared it up for him, too. But, I mean, let's face it, by November, they knew, they had Hillary or Trump, but...
So then you focus on what you need to focus on.
Right. Just...
And that's what you do. I mean,
it's just amazing, though, people...
Know what your target is.
Yeah. People felt like... They, they had sent a clear message to the powers that be, and the powers that be are like, no, I don't think so. We're gonna unravel your deal, and we're gonna use other people on the world stage to do it, which is just stunning, actually.
Yeah, and why, you know, use an MI6 agent?
Yeah, right.
Unless he had a lot of connections and, you know, they know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you think
these aren't stupid people.
Who were his backers at Orbis and who back-funded Orbis. See what I mean?
Right.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on here, folks, and it just doesn't happen in a way which looks like superficial. This is heavy-duty stuff.
Well, and I'm still a little bit shocked that they did it in what appears to be such an open manner, thinking that Trump would never, this would stop the inevitable, and they've left themselves so exposed.
Well, Judicial Watch was being pushed back. The House Oversight Committee, when Nunes was being pushed back,
mm-hmm.
stuff was just coming into revelation. You know,
right.
in the last 4, 5, 6 months, you know, a lot of things.
Right.
So it's slowly, you know, you're seeing how this all, Hannity was a dog on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and they tried to take him out, too, and they couldn't do it. But
yeah,
no,
they tried to get him on a...
He's been instrumental.
He said, she said deal.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I don't want to get into anything else that's going on. I want to...
yeah.
Our direction, you know, here, and what has gone on in the federal government at the national security level. This
right.
is a critical part of what protects all our citizens, our God-given liberties, rights, and freedoms to the nth degree, to the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
If they are usurping our U.S. Constitution and not abiding by it, then that's as appalling can get.
Exactly. And if they can do it once, they can do it twice, and that's why this should be
stopped.
Yep.
Yeah.
It should absolutely be cut off at the knees at this point because... all it'll do is get bigger, worse, and more...
And anybody could be a target.
More covert.
We aren't the America we're supposed to be.
Well,
anymore.
You look at... You know, you're not going to have people running for office that you want. You're just not.
I'm saying not here. Remember what I said earlier? Our brothers and sisters that possibly did it overseas that were working against the President of the United States...
Yeah.
Stop and desist.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Called on the rug. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, Bruce, we're going to go out
thank
with...
thank you very much.
We're going to go out with Eye of the Tiger. President.
Okay.
We'll give the president the theme song there.
Yeah, God bless America and all of us and everybody overseas.
That's absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bruce. And
thanks
we'll be
a million.
Talking to you soon.
I know we'll be talking to you again. Please check all the information we've posted at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.